Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And y'all know what I'm going to say. Y'all know what I'm going to say. It is a great word today. Every day is a great word, but today it is a great word as we finish the book of Job. And whew, that's all I can say. It's one of those whew kind of words. And it has been a whew kind of week to this week. You know, shout out to all my brothers and sisters who have student loan debt that's being forgiven, including one of my own sons. I am grateful because God knows this child has needed that blessing of some of that forgiveness of his student loan. So, ooh, thank you, Lord. I'm grateful. And like I said, I have one that graduated debt-free and one that graduated with some debt. But God is good all the way around. So thanking God for putting that in the president's heart and, you know, giving credit to Elizabeth Warren who brought it up in the first place. So thanking God for all of you. Keep praying that God will forgive even more debt, because I just believe in my own personal year of Jubilee that God's going to wipe out all debt. I'm believing that. Hallelujah. So thanking God for his grace. Thanking God for his, thanking God for each and every one of you. Father God in heaven, we are coming together, Lord God, joined arm in arm, hand in hand, believing, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, Lord God. But we know that you are with us always, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. Father God, I lift my hands to thee. Whew. Believing and trusting, Lord God, that everything is working for good, that because I trust in you, God. So, Father God, I lift up this awesome, mighty word this morning. Lord God, where we hear your voice, where we understand where you are coming from, Lord God, and we repent, oh God, of any sins we have committed in thought, in word, or deed, oh God, against your divine majesty. Father God, I ask you to please you increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Father God, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed by your word. I am redeemed because I am your daughter. I thank you for the adoption, God. I thank you for grafting me into your olive branch, that I may walk in righteousness, O God, that I may speak in righteousness, that I will be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. So, Father God, as I lift up this word this morning, I lift up every listener, those listening live and those listening later, after you, Lord, to watch over them, to bless them, to give them the freedom to be whoever they may be. In you, God, to do their assignments, God, whatever their assignment may be, to teach, to preach, to evangelize, just to be a good person, whatever their assignment, God, let them do it with grace. Let them do it with mercy. Let them speak in love, and let them live in daughters of the Most High God, who loves them so very much. So thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your loving kindness. And thank you, God, above all things, for your mighty and awesome Son, my Savior, my Redeemer, my friend, my Jesus. In his name I pray, believing and trusting in him. And, Lord, thanking you for just another day. Thank you for the deal of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. thanking God for the do-over today. Thanking God for this brand new day that he has given me, that he has given you. Because if you're listening to me, you've been given a do-over. So let our today be better than our yesterday. Whew, hallelujah. Let us accomplish what we want to accomplish for the Lord. Because that can we work for. We work for God. We are working in the vineyard. And our job is to say so and bring those to God that do not know him. So I pray that this word will touch your heart. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's always a good day to be saved. A good day to say, thank you, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on Calvary's cross for my sinful sin. Whew, hallelujah, Lord. I believe. And that I am covered by the blood. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to call on the name of Jesus. When that enemy comes at you, bam, call on that name. And I can tell you now, them demons will flee like everything because they know don't play with God's child. Hallelujah. And the word of God is coming to us this morning out of Job chapter 41 through 42, verse 17. And we will have a life principle this morning from Dr. Stanley, along with our life lessons. We will also be coming out of Psalm, the 101st Psalm, verses 5 through 8, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 31 through 35, and 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 19. And then tomorrow we will be starting in Ecclesiastes. Ooh. What can I say but wow. Awesome book. So let's get started in our word. And be, as always, my disclaimer, we are coming out of the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, mainly because it's just easier to read and to understand. For those that are listening in that are not in the church since they were babies and have heard King James all their life, New King James breaks King James down in a more modern language. So I thank God for New King James. But my disclaimer is, I am not paid by InTouch Ministries, Dr. Stanley, ChristianBooks.com, or any other entity that I may speak on this word today. But I will tell you, a Bible, if you don't have one, ChristianBooks.com is a great place to go and buy Bibles. They are actually having a huge Bible sale right now. You can get Bibles less than $10. So if you know someone that needs a Bible, now is the time to buy it for them and get them a Bible, as well as this Bible that we are going through. It is a great meditation Bible, and I will tell anybody, get this Bible for your biblical arsenal, because our Bibles are our weapons. Knowing the Word of God is your weapon to fight the enemy, because he's coming at you, because that's his job. But we have this awesome and mighty word to fight with, so you can stand on the Word of God. And this meditation word that we do every day, at least this year, is awesome. So I thank Dr. Stanley from the bottom of my heart for writing this commentary for this Bible and putting it in a way that we have a psalm every day. We have a proverb every day. And then we are going through the Word of God in an orderly fashion. You know, so you will not see psalm and proverb. We skip psalm and proverb as he's going through. We're going, instead of going from Job to psalm and proverb, we're going to Ecclesiastes, because he spread psalm out for the whole year and proverb out for the whole year. So we have a psalm and a proverb every day. and instead of just reading all the Psalms together, we have one every day. So that's kind of how this Bible is set up, but it is a wonderful, wonderful meditation Bible. Take on God's Word every day. This is an awesome Bible to do it with. So my disclaimer, my advertisement, now it's time to get into the Word. And again, thank you all for joining me this morning. God's Word is so important that we need to meditate on it every day. And I thank you for coming and having Bible study with me, because this is my time with God. And this is what the Word of God says in Job chapter 41. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? And we all know Leviathan is a massive prehistoric sea monster. Some say it's a whale, but a Leviathan is bigger than a whale. Leviathan is a huge, huge, huge in the ocean. And God is saying, can you draw out the biggest thing that I created in the ocean with a hook? Can you go fishing for Leviathan, is what God is asking, or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons, or his head with fish and spears? Because remember, Leviathan has this thick, so he's hard to pierce. And it goes and say, lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Don't play with God. I will not cancel his mighty power or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tight as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezing flesh forth light. His sneezing flesh forth light. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning, of his mouth so burning light. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling point and burning rushes. He's like, Lord, are you talking about a dragon? You know, because that's what this sounds like, a dragon to me. You know, so Leviathan can go in the water and come up as a dragon? Come on. Don't mess with Leviathan. And then he goes on to tell us, whew, strength dwells in his neck and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he rises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashing, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. sparkling stones become like stubble to him. Ooh. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. He is undersized, a light, sharp parchment. He spreads pointed mark in the mare. He marks well like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ornament. He leaves shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. Oh, earth, there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. Wow. That's all I can say. I have no comment, but wow. And we'll go back to some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. But there is not one, but chapter 41. But all I can say is don't play with God and don't play with Leviathan. Because there are some things bigger than us, some things badder than us, some things that you just leave alone. And that is one that you just leave alone, because it sounded like a dragon to me, a dragon that can go underwater and come back up. Don't play with God's creation, because you don't know what you're messing with. And all these folks out there wanting to play God. Ooh, I found a dinosaur egg. All I got to say is, remember Jurassic Park. Some things that we think is fantasy, there are somebody out there stupid enough to try to make a reality. You know, all I got to say is, if you are one of those people, and I thank my son for giving me one, but I have an iWatch. And every time I look at my watch, I think in my mind of Dick Tracy. Yes, I'm telling my age. But I think of Dick Tracy talking on your watch. You know, I think of a Star Trek when I have my headset on. And I have that little iPod in my ear. And you just push a button and you talk on your phone. Or your phone will say, call coming from, and you say, answer it. And you start talking to somebody. You know, all those things that what we thought, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, were fantasy are now our reality. So let's pray that nobody decides to make a Jurassic Park reality, because they don't know what they're messing with. Because we are not God, and we cannot handle God's creation. So we need to mind our own business and stay out of God. You know, this cloning business, folks wanting to clone this and clone that. You cannot put a soul. Creation is soulless. And you need to stop messing with God and trying to make what is God's creation. So just throw that out there. Don't know who it's for, but God is saying we got to stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't try to make a Leviathan, because it can't handle what comes out. Don't try to create a prehistoric animal, because you just want to see what it really looks like. Duh. Calm yourself. Because don't play with God and don't try to be God. There's only one. And we are not to bow down to men. Don't let anybody knock you off your square that you're willing to die for a person and not die for God. That you would do everything that a person tells you, lie, cheat, or steal. But for God, you can't just be honest and gracious and loving and kind. We need to remember and get our priorities straight as Christians. And that is to love God and love his people. So let's get into Job chapter 42. Because I got to say this, God will give you double for your trouble. But I love that what God, Job told us is, I know, he told God, I know you can do everything. And we got to understand our daddy God can do everything. Don't sell God short. No, God can do everything, and his eyes are on the faithful. Hallelujah. Thank God. and be faithful, that his eyes will be on you. Hallelujah. Even in our absolute horrific messes, God is there. Even when we have accidents, God is there. Even when we walk in the dark, God is the light that is with us. Keep God first, because he, as Job said, can do everything. So let's get back in our word, Job chapter 42. For those that are just joining us this morning, welcome to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. Welcome to this absolute awesome experience of Bible study. And it says this, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Can y'all say that with me one more time? I know you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Hallelujah. I repent, Lord. Let your word permeate the atmosphere this morning. Let your word permeate the atmosphere every day. For new days you give us, God. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us do-overs, for helping us to begin and be better today than we were yesterday. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And as we continue in our word, Job chapter 42, verse 7, and so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, but you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded from there, for the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintance before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, but he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Called the names of the first, Jamimah, the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Kiran Hathuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. Hallelujah. God gave Job double for his trouble. And this is some life lessons and life principles from the book of Job that Dr. Stanley is sharing with us this morning, and I am sharing with you. And the first life lesson is this: in Job 42:5-6, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. It is one thing to learn facts about God from a safe distance. It is quite another to know him personally, intimately, up close and face to face. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Jeremiah 10:7. Job 42:8. My servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him. In his time of trouble, Job wondered whether God even heard his painful prayer, his pain-filled prayer. But not only has God heard him, he accepted both him and his prayers. God restored Job's losses when Job prayed for his friends, as God had instructed him. God sent on behalf of those who wait for him, and he assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. Keep trusting in God. Keep trusting in God. Who, though he slay me, I will trust you. We got to trust God in everything. Job 42:12, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. In the anguish of his darkest days, Job wished that he had never been born. Do you think he felt the same way by the end of his life? Like it or not, brokenness is God's requirement for maximum usefulness. Life is seldom a sustained march in a single direction. Job found that it has its highs and lows, tragedies. But through it all, God is there, and so is his blessing for faithful obedience. We all have been through. I don't know about you, but I've been through my broken times. I've had broken times, many a broken time, broken, toe up from the blow up. And God has always been with me. Even in the darkest hours, God has been with me. When I call on the name of Jesus, he's been there to fight for me. So I say to you, don't give up. God is not giving up on us, so we cannot give up on God, no matter what you're going through. Even when you look at the mountains and you like say, how am I going to get this mountain moved? To think God will make a way out of no way. Trust God today. Push. Push, push, and push some more. Pray until something happens. Keep a prayer on your lips and faith in your heart, knowing that your dad loves you. Your daddy God loves you. When you accepted his son as your personal Lord and Savior, you got grafted in and adopted. Hallelujah. Thank God every day. Thank you, God. I'm getting filled up, y'all. Whew! I love God's word, and I love God. And this is a word, a life principle. We don't get a lot of life principles through this word, but when Dr. Stanley brings a life principle, it is important. And this is what he says. God assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. Understand, when we obey him. And it says this, do you really believe that God is able and eager to meet all of your needs? Some people ask, if God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and if he loves me unconditionally and therefore he not only is capable of meeting all my needs but also desires to meet my needs, then why doesn't he just meet all my needs right now? Why do I still have unmet needs? Come on now. There are folks that are probably asking that question. Others say, I know God is capable of meeting my needs, but since I still have them, God must not want to meet them. The others question sincerely. Why didn't God meet all my needs the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior? These are excellent questions worthy of close examination. At the out there, let me assure you that God is committed to meeting all of your needs. Jesus told us in Matthew 6 that we are not to worry about getting our needs met. That's what he said. For God has promised to take care of them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and all these things shall be added to you. So what's the caveat? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, said, and all these things shall be added to you. Things like food and drink and clothes. This is a promise, a commitment, a pledge of action. The value of any commitment is based upon two things: the ability of the promise maker to fulfill the promise, the integrity of the promise maker, whether he has the character to follow through on the promise. God certainly qualifies on both accounts. He has all the wisdom, power, and ability necessary to fulfill his promises to us. He also has proven integrity. He has always done what he has said he would do. God is utterly faithful to his word. He is holy and immutable. He is unchanging. His commandments, statutes, and promises have not changed. They reflect our unchanging God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, glory. When you have an unmet need, the first place to look for a reason why is not at God or his son, Christ Jesus, but at yourself. You err greatly when you ask, why hasn't God lived up to his promise? You are wise to ask instead, what could I be doing that's keeping God from fulfilling his promise? You may respond, well, I am not doing anything to keep this promise from being fulfilled. If you knew my circumstances or my situation, let me assure you that no circumstance or situation can keep God from acting on your behalf. Nothing is too great or too powerful to stand in the way if God chooses to act. The real question remains, what are you doing in the midst of your circumstance or situation? Look again at Jesus' promise. He pledged that God would meet all your needs when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means that he promises to meet all your needs as you faithfully obey by the power of his spirit. The command he has given you, God assumes full responsibility for your needs when you obey him. Come on now. Trust in his wisdom is one such command. Do you have a preconceived idea about how God must act to meet your needs or whom God may use to meet your needs? Many people have said to me, well, if this man would just do such and such or she would agree to do so and so, then my need would be met. Or they have said, well, I did such and such, and therefore God must do this and that. Those who make such statements are not trusting a wise God to be their need meter. Come on, Dr. Stanley, you better preach. Rather, they are demanding that God power on behalf of their wishes and commands. God calls us to trust him and him alone to meet our needs and be our total source of supply. Furthermore, God requires that we obey him as part of our trusting him. We have the situation completely backwards. Anytime we start expecting God to trust us to know what is right and to obey our commands so that he might prove his love for us, we need to stop and take a moment to say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for trying to make you into an ATM. Forgive me. Woo, forgive me, God what to do. And God will show up and show out when you least expect it. I can attest to that. Didn't have hot water in one of my hot water heaters. And the water started getting cold. I had company. And then I called somebody to come and check it. They come in and tell me it's going to be this huge amount of money and that I need to get another water heater and I need to do all this stuff. And because I'm like, Lord, you know all that kind of money. I mean, it's like everything hit at one time. First, it was the water heater. Then it was my chimney. Then it was the lighting in my den. Then, you know, it's like, okay, then the lawnmowers. All these things hit at one time. Grass needed cut. Lawnmowers broken. It was like, okay, God, I don't know what to do. Prayed about the water heater. Next day, go to get water to boil on the stove because the water heater that was broken. And I'm putting the quotation marks up. Controlled my sink, kitchen sink, guest bathroom, and my laundry room. The next thing I know, whew, I turn this water on, getting ready to fill up this pot to make some hot water, and the water's hot. Going on. I rush to the guest bathroom. Turn on the faucet. Turn on the shower. Hot water. All I can do is shout and cry because God has supplied a need that I didn't have to get a new water heater. God. Whew. Chimney. Cracks in my chimney, which was water was leaking into my den. I get it. Phone call from someone that says, God told me to bless you. And not only did they bless me, they blessed me with enough to cover the entire chimney replacement. My God. Lawnmower comes back with a discount. But God can do all things. God will put people in place to help you when you least expect it. God will do what God says he will do, and he will do it when you need it. God is so good. And we are blessed to be his children. So I tell you, don't sell God short. Just pray and say, Lord, you know what I need, and I need you to help me to do what I need to do to get back on track. But sometimes we can get off track. We can be on the second rail when we need to be on the third. We can be out of our square with a little bit of darkness, but we need God to move us back into the light to get our train rolling on the right track. We got to trust God. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. We have the situation completely backwards. Anytime we start expecting God to trust us to know what is right and to obey our commands so that he might prove his love for us. Do you want your needs met? Then tell God today, I trust you completely to meet my needs in your timing and according to your methods, and I will continue to obey you by the power of your spirit, believing that as I do, you will take care of me. Hallelujah. And I got to say that one time because that is a prayer. Father God, I trust you today and every day. I trust you completely to meet my needs in your timing and according to your methods. And I will continue to obey you by the power of your spirit, believing that as I do, you will take care of me. And we got to add in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, all things work for our good. Hallelujah. Got a little off my time this morning, but it's all right because we are going into our 101st Psalm 5-8. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a revelation word. So I say this morning that God's eyes are on the faithful of the land. Let's be faithful to our Father today and every day, because he is always faithful to us. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 31 through 35. Do not look on the wine when it is red. We're talking about being a drunkard. I'm just calling it straight. When it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake and I may seek another drink? And I'm going to say this. I grew up in a community where it had all the stuff. It had the pool hall. It had the drinking establishment. And it had the place, the liquor store. It had the chicken shack and the barbecue place. It had the housing. Back then, we had housing where people had rental housing, where you had, they had rooms that you could rent in the building. And there is nothing in this world worse than seeing a drunk woman walking down the street, heels all half broken off, runs in their pantyhose, makeup coming down their face, and then talking loud and cursing. It's nothing more unbecoming. And I saw that growing up. As folks was going into the boarding house that it was next door, you know, folks fighting. It's not pleasant. And I say to anybody, don't, especially women, don't become drunkards, because there is nothing cute about being drunk. It is nothing cute about being high. It is nothing cute about being looking like a mess. And that's men and women. We got to pray for each other. And it is because of seeing those things as a child that I spoke to God as a little kid and said, I will not drink. I will not touch alcohol. And I have not. I don't drink. And I don't smoke, and I never have, never wanted to, because I always looked at and remember the things that I saw. Drunken woman with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, and it was something that stayed in my mind from a little child up until adulthood, that I would never be that woman. God's will, I would not drink. And folks will look at you crazy when you say, I don't drink at all. And they think, oh, you think you better? No, I don't. That's my covenant with God. That's my thing. And folks who know me know, no, children never have. I was not dibbling and dabbling. I just don't. It's not something I do. And I know it did. I don't know. And it never had. I've been tried. I remember, let me take that back. I tried to smoke. I was 13 and thought I was grown because I didn't have to have a babysitter anymore. I could stay by myself. And I would go sneak, almost kill my goofy behind. Choke up, cry like a baby. Put that cigarette out, cut the end off, put it in a box, and ask God not to get me in trouble. Because I knew I was supposed to do it, and I did it anyway. And it was awful. Couldn't breathe. Had to get air freshener, spray it around so the smoke was gone, open up the doors. Come on now. If you got to hide something, you don't need to be doing it. Just throwing it out there. Now let's get back into our word. Folks, we went out of time. And our next word is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 19. And it says, now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good. And this is a word for husbands and wives. So I hope I have some husbands and wives out there listening to this word. This word is for you. Listen to God's word. And things of which you wrote to me. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. Did y'all catch that? And let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that does cause your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say, now understand, I want to make sure everybody understands this. Paul is not speaking for God. Paul is giving his opinion based on what God has put in his heart. You know, just like when pastors preach, sometimes they will preach what's in their heart that God has given them. And Paul is preaching what God has given them, but understand, these are a lot of Paul's opinions. But understand what he says is, but each one is his own gift from God. One is this manner and another in that. Paul says, I say, to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Paul would say, hey, I don't have a wife, I'm good. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. It says, now, to the married, I command you, but the Lord, now he's speaking what God has given him. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. That's the unequally yoked folk. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. But how do you know, oh wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, oh husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. I ordain it all in all the churches. Was someone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Whew. Apostle Paul was speaking this morning. And so let's go back a couple to about, I have three life lessons for this word. And the first is this. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 5, do not deprive one another except with consent, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. And Dr. Stanley says, is that sexual expression is a key and vital part of every Christian marriage. Believing couples should abstain from it only by mutual consent for limited time and for a specific prayer need. In other words, why is somebody depriving your husband of your body? I can't stand it. Come on, girl. We got to be right. I was married for 32 years, and I can say this with every part of my being, every fiber of me, one time of cheating or wanting to cheat or needing to cheat, or because God gave me to this man. He found me, and I was a good thing, I'm just saying. You know, we got to understand a husband who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. So, ladies, you don't have to chase. If he is not interested in you, he's not the one for you. You don't have to go after him. He will come after you. You are a good thing, ladies. You are a good thing. And he will find a good thing in a wife. As my mama used to say, don't be giving up the milk if he ain't bought the cow. I'm just calling it like the old folks used to say. Too many folks is giving up milk and wondering why the cow never got bought. Corinthians 7:11. If she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Paul follows the lead of the Old Testament and of Jesus on the topic of divorce. His teaching on grace does not mean that spouses can divorce at will. It means that God can give them the strength to persevere. Try to persevere. Try to make up. Don't let anybody tell you, girl, you need to leave him. You know, he's too bossy. He's too this. He's too that. Again, you don't know anybody's relationship. And I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to get off of it. If you have those, if it was me, folks, in your life, let them go because it is not them. Keep them out of your business. Let them mind their business for 6 months and let them mind their business for the next 6 months. Because if it was me, it's not you. And don't let if it was me tell you how to run your life. Tell you how to be married when they single. Tell you how to do this and that when they don't have what you have. Let them go. If it was me, I would. Well, it's not you. But if it was, then you go do what you was going to do. Stay out of my business. And we got to understand God is the only one that can get in folks' business and tell them what to do. And God will. Now, I'm not going to say God won't send a prophet. God won't send a pastor. God won't send a friend to help you. But they are not the if it was me. Throwing it out there. In 1 Corinthians 7:19. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Rituals help us only insofar as they remove us toward God. In and of themselves, they have no intrinsic value. God values devotion, obedience, far more than adhering to religious rituals. you know, we're going to go over really quick because I only have a few minutes left, but I just want to go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. So please join me over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. It's a great word, too. So, again, 1 Samuel, Old Testament, and we'll go to verse 22. We may go a little bit above or a little bit after to make sure we have it all in context. And y'all know what I'm getting ready to say, right? Let's go up. It says this in verse 15, because understand, Saul had gone out, and he had decided that he was going to do his thing, okay? God had told him to kill all the Amalekites, include everything, men, women, children, everything, even the cattle, everything. Get rid of it all. And so Samuel comes, because he's supposed to wait for Samuel, and decided he was going to do the sacrifice himself. It says, but Samuel said, what then is this belting? Because Saul going to say that he had done everything he was told to do. And Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. No, he didn't. But Samuel said, what then is this belting of the sheep in my ears and the loin of the ox, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little, in your own eyes were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them. And so, long story short, Saul didn't do what he was told to do, and he lost his kingship. And so when we get down to verse 22, it says, so Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams. And that is our word this morning. And I say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And for those that can stay just a minute longer, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is this. God has your answer. Seek him and he will show you what you need to know. He has good things for you, even in bad situations. Have a Trust God Thursday. And as always, our sister in Christ is right there with us in topic. God can do everything, and his eyes are on the paper. Have a blessed day, family. Let God work in your life and continue to walk in righteousness. It is a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me. And again, those that can stay for a few minutes more, we are a little bit over 8, but I just have a prayer for today. And then it's around. And it says this, protect my heart. And it's from 1 Corinthians 5, 15 and 33. Do not be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Ooh, that he's talking about the if it was me crowd. Lord, I submit my life to your leadership. I don't want to be influenced by the ways of this world, lowering the standard of the quality of my life. I know that your ways, though not easy, are better than my own. Let me be purposeful in who I spend my time with, surrounding myself with those who love you. I see the value in considering who gets to influence me. Let me take into account the fruit of my relationship, letting those who are builders and refiners have ready access. Your wisdom speaks to every area of my life. I won't keep my friendships outside of the realm of your input. May I value the integrity of my heart in life enough to be picky about those who get most of my time. Thank you for the freedom to choose this. I don't have to live arm in arm with those who don't treat others with kindness and respect. I will not feel guilty for putting up necessary boundaries in relations. Check my heart as I make these choices. And the question for today is, who do you need to allow less access to your life? Thank you so much for joining, family. It's a wrap. It's officially a wrap this time. And our final closing, thank you so very much. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I'm praying over each and every one of you. Father God, bless each listener, those that listen live and those that listen later. Keep them covered under the blood, oh God, that they will understand that you are everywhere and all things are possible with you through Christ who gives us strength, oh God. Thank you for this day, God. Thank you for the do-over. And may this day be a great day for all those that are here, those that are listening. And thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of debt. For we know, Lord, that debt is being forgiven in some of our years of jubilee and in some of our children who have had debt that has weighed them down. Lord, we thank you for the reprieve. We thank you for the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day, family. Good wrap.